Well, good Resurrection Sunday morning, Redeemed Church. It's Pastor Steve. God bless you. Just lift up your hands and praise Jesus right now that He's alive. Thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead for us on a morning just like this. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. God is so, so good. Well, we always like to start our Sundays with a praise report or two. Praise God. So I want you to do us a favor today. Email us a praise report, something that might have happened over the weekend, something awesome God's doing in your life. Go to redeemedfam@gmail.com and send us a praise report. Amen. We want to hear them. God is so good. We're celebrating. I'm going to lay hands on my phone right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, I do this, Lord, this point of contact, all the prayer requests that have come in. Father, we celebrate with every praise report, God. The most wonderful praise report of them all is that Jesus is alive. We thank you, Lord. But as I lay hands on my phone representing all the prayer needs that are out there, we call people healed. We call people blessed. We call people whole and prosperous today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty and wonderful and awesome name of Jesus, we praise you, God. We praise you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to worship God together like we always do on Sunday mornings. Even though we're not here together physically, we're praising God by faith that it won't be long. We're going to be together again very soon, and all churches will be able to meet again. And we're just believing God in Jesus' name for the all clear. We thank you, Father, for the all clear in Jesus' name where this virus is concerned. In Jesus' name. Well, stand up on your feet. We're going to begin with our statement of faith like we always do. Ready, begin. Say it like this. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, walking in faith and victory. I'm called, anointed, and chosen, favored, blessed, and loved. I'm the head and not the tail, not beneath but above. I'm a child of God, and God loves me. Just tell somebody in your house or text somebody or post something that says God loves you. Praise the Lord, and everything's going to be all right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord together.
He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say that all the world rejoices. He's alive. He's alive again. Rejoice, He's alive. Oh,
Praise, praise, praise the Lord, church. Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. You are so great. Thank you for the name. Just say the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit here to be with us today, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room where the Holy Ghost was poured out. And we give you the praise for the victory in every area of our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. We're going to worship God today as we always do with our tithes and offerings. And one chapter that I think I heard Brother Jesse refer to this week, Jesse Duplantis, in Genesis 26. It's about Isaac, and it says this in first few verses in Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him, verse 2, and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you." Somebody say, God is with me, God is blessing me. "For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Verse 4, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now jump over to verse 12, and it says this, "Then Isaac sowed in that land, and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Verse 13, "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." Oh man, I'm going to say that two more times. "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." One more time. "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." Hallelujah. Verse 14, "For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great numbers of servants, so the Philistines envied him." Now, remember, church, this is the time of famine in the land. Hallelujah. And guess what? The time of famine, the time where it seems like there's lack and shortage and people are hoarding things and stockpiling up toilet paper and all this kind of stuff because of fear. This is not the time to back off in our giving, church. It's time to press in to our giving. Amen? There are people right now making thousands of dollars because of the fear that's on people's lives. Amen? Whether it's dishonest, you know, that's not good, obviously. But a lot of people in sales are selling different things to help people sanitize and all this kind of stuff, which is not a bad thing, you know. But the point is here, church, a time of famine is not a time to back off on our commitment to Jesus. Amen. It's a place where the faith rubber meets the faith road. Amen. So somebody say, "I'm a tither, I'm a giver. I'm going to prosper, and I'm going to continue prospering, and then I'm going to be very prosperous." Hallelujah. I am blessed to be a blessing. Praise God. So, Father, I pray that you bless everyone, God, today. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of great prosperity. We thank you for the blessing on our lives today, Lord, as we're obedient to follow you, to listen to you, to not operate in fear but in faith. We will continue to sow and be a blessing in the name of Jesus, and we receive, Lord. We're open to receive the blessings of heaven in our lives, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen and amen and amen. Praise God. And you can mail your tithes or offerings to Redeemed Church. You can make your checks payable to Redeemed Church. Amen. And the mailing address, I don't have it right in front of me at this moment, but you can look it up on our website. You're listening probably on our website anyway. And there is a give button at the top of the page, and it has the information there. Praise God as you give. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get right into today's message. Let's pray over it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We receive it with thanksgiving. We give you the praise for it. Hallelujah. Giving us sensitive hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone, but hearts that can receive and believe and act on your words, Father. We will follow closely to you in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Well, today's message on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, April 12th, 2020, I want to title it this, Resurrection Life, the New Normal. Resurrection Life, the New Normal. Somebody say, Resurrection Life is the New Normal. And I've heard, you know, with all the coronavirus concerns and everything, I've heard it said multiple times this week, welcome to the new normal, right? Having to stay 6 feet apart from people, not being able to touch your face, not being able to shake people's hands, not being able to go inside a coffee shop, not being able to gather into a church building. Welcome to the new normal. Well, you know what? I don't receive that, church. I don't receive that at all. Amen. It might be for now, but it's not the normal thing. Amen. In fact, it's very abnormal. And this corona, COVID, whatever they're calling it, or any type of sickness, is a spirit of infirmity. And God's people need to know that and take charge over it in the spirit. Yes, we have some things to do in the natural. We need to be respectful to those people that are in authority, governors and mayors and all of our health and medical professionals, our president, God bless him, all these people, Lord, we pray your wisdom and your favor on them, God, and our doctors and scientists, Lord, you're providing solutions and answers. But mostly, Father, we take authority as the body of Christ in the spirit right now, and we break the power, and we thank you, Lord, that power of that COVID virus is broken and things are changing. And you know, just since Passover, guys, last Wednesday was Passover, all of a sudden we're in the 70s. The sun is out. A friend of mine, Pastor Scott, down in Dallas, texted me and said it's in the 90s down there. Even guys that I listen to late afternoon on sports radio are starting to say, you know what, it looks like stuff's starting to change. Come on, man. You know, you remember the story about the prophet, and he's looking for rain, and he says, well, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Well, we just need to latch on to those things and just say, thank you, Jesus. Things are changing for the good. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, our foundation text today, if you have your notes there, is Matthew 28, verse 6. And it says this, he, that's Jesus, he's not here. We're talking about the tomb, right? For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. It's important to remember in times like this, with all the stress and the fear going on, guess what? He's not in that stuff, right? When the ladies went to the tomb to apply spices and things that they do at burial, right? They were looking for a living man where dead men are. And guess what? He wasn't there. So as the body of Christ, we need to stop just trying to fit Jesus into all these, you know, devilish things. Amen? Somehow it's his will that all this is happening. Nonsense, church. Nonsense. Somebody say, he's not here. He's not in the lie. He's not in the fear. Amen? For he has risen above it. And guess what? If he has risen and he's on the inside of you, guess what you're doing? You're rising too. Somebody say, I'm on the rise. Hallelujah. Come see where the place where the Lord lay. Amen. That might be where we were yesterday, but let's keep moving. Amen. The word says, I think in Psalm 23, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody say, we're not building any monuments in the valley of the shadow of death. No, we're hightailing it through and getting it over with. Amen. Getting past it. And your faith, church, is going to help other people through it as well. Amen. Romans 6:23, say this again, resurrection life is my new normal. That just makes me giggle. Resurrection life is the new normal for me and my household. As for me and my house, resurrection life is the new normal. That's one of the beautiful things about being, as they say, quarantined. If you saw this week's weekly devotional, we're having fun with that on Facebook, something came out of my mouth that I don't even remember saying until I heard it. And basically at the end of it, I said, we got to home plate, right? And I said, isn't it great, something like, isn't it great to be quarantined with Jesus? We're staying home with him and we're never leaving. Amen. Resurrection life in Jesus Christ is the new normal. One of the great things I was getting at is about being, you know, kind of in the house and with the family, is that we don't have to listen to all the noise out there. We just shut it off, church. I don't have the news on 24/7. My kids aren't in schools where a lot of the faculty is just constantly into the fear and the scuttlebutt, if you will, about the awful things. No, we don't have to listen to that right now. We just shut it off, turn the word on, watch movies, enjoy each other. We're believing God to break this thing through. Amen? And he is. But this resurrection life, church, somebody say resurrection life is on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And that's the new normal. Amen. So none of this bad stuff the world is pushing is normal. It's abnormal for somebody who's born again. That's the key thing. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, that's abnormal. Fear is abnormal. Sin is abnormal, right? Poverty, sickness, disease, hiding, abnormal. Abnormal behavior for the body of Christ. Amen, right? Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. See, all that stuff is part of the wages of sin. And church, honestly, we can't see a lot of times things that are going on in the heavenlies. But a lot of times stuff like this happens, comes on a nation, comes on a planet because of spiritual doors that are opened by people, whether it's through strife or murdering unborn babies. Wouldn't it be great? I was thinking the other day, you know, and I'm not saying that this COVID thing is not a serious matter. It is. Amen. And praise God for people that are working and helping and we're believing God in speaking words of health. But wouldn't it be great if we took half the energy that they're putting on this and applied it to the abortion problem? Dear God, can you imagine? Amen. Because I'll tell you what, stuff like abortion opens the door for the devil to do stuff like COVID or worse. That's why the church is praying. That's why the church is preaching. Amen. That's why we lay hands on the sick and preach God's word. That's why we live for Jesus every day. Because you know what? Not just my life depends on it, but the lives of others, the life of a nation. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. So Jesus had to die to crucify sin, to end the sin problem. Is sin still alive on planet Earth? Well, yes, but you cut the head off a snake and it's still going to flop around for a while until it's dead. Amen? The main thing is that we don't connect ourselves to the sin, that we connect ourselves by faith to the Savior. Amen? That's what makes us different than the rest of the world. Amen. Romans 4:25. And it's talking about Jesus again. These are all chapters. You can go back and read the whole chapter. They're awesome. But for the sake of this message, Romans 4:25, who Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised. Somebody say raised. Because of our justification. Praise God forevermore. That's what we're talking about. That's normal. Amen. My offenses were why Jesus died. My justification is why he rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. Justification, living a life just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's the new normal. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So we don't have to fear consequences of sin because Jesus paid the consequences of my sins, the sins of the whole world. Amen. But people need to believe, don't they? Amen. Matthew 28. Look at that in your Bible. We'll actually flip over there. Matthew 28. Praise God. The first six verses. This is the resurrection story here. Amen. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Why? They were looking for a dead man. Amen. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. That is so glorious. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Remember, they put guards there because they thought that the disciples may come and steal his body and make it look like he rose again. No, all they did was confirm that he rose again. Amen. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Now, there's a commandment right there. Do not be afraid. Hallelujah. "For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." Somebody say, "He is not here." "For he is risen." He's not here in this place where they put dead people. He's not here. He is risen. "As he said," he already told you, right? "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go on to verse 8. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Oh, what the most glorious miracle of all miracles. "And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Hallelujah. It's funny to me how some people will say, "Women ought not be in the ministry." Well, guess what? The first evangelists were women. There they were, right? The angel told them, "Go quickly and tell." That's what they were doing. They were the first ones to say, "He's alive!" Women of God. Glory to God. The devil is freaked out about men of God, but oh man, all the more the women of God. Look out. He is risen, church. Somebody say, "He is risen." Resurrection life is the new normal. So if you're not living in resurrection life, that's abnormal. The world is living in an abnormal state that they don't have to live in because of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's from lack of knowledge or unbelief or religious traditions or love for other things, whatever it is, it's abnormal. From my Heavenly Father's perspective, the new normal is walk in union with Jesus. Amen? He is risen. That word risen means to waken. Remember, we're talking about the new normal now. To waken, to rouse from sleep, to rouse from sitting or lying, to rouse from disease, to rouse from death, to rouse from obscurity, to rouse from ruins, to rouse from non-existence. See, that's the new normal. We're not called to live in disease or fear of it or death or from being spiritually lazy. Amen? From sleeping spiritually. Oh, it matters, church. It matters if we're not listening and obeying the voice of God. It matters. We need to be stirring ourselves up, rising up on the inside. Amen? Why? Because that's the new normal. We are called to rise above the issues of this world, the sleepiness, the sitting, right? The ignoring, the fear of disease, fear of death, obscurity, ruins. That would include the curse, sin, right? Non-existence, depression, all these things. No, we just need to rise up and say no in the face of the devil whenever he comes knocking on our door with that stuff or in our face, you know. He was telling me this the other day, the enemy. He'll come and whisper things. He was like, "You know what? You got no right to be preaching this gospel, being a minister. Look at your past. Look at the stuff you used to be into." Yeah, Steve, talking to you. And you know what bubbled up on the inside of me? Well, Satan, I'm certainly a step up higher than you are. I'm certainly a better choice than listening to you. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Risen means to awake, to lift up, to raise up, to stand, take our stand of faith, to take up. Hallelujah. Don't you know we rise in faith in the finished work that Jesus did for us on our behalf. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, this is the story of Nicodemus. Again, go back and read these chapters, right? He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Somebody say, one way, Jesus. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again is a rise up kind of word, right? Just being born into the world naturally is a great start, but we have to come to Jesus. We have to admit to him that, guess what? I need your sacrifice, Jesus. So many people, don't come to Jesus in an attitude of faith like that. They think, well, yeah, he did that, but I don't need it. I mean, goodness, I'm not that big of a sinner. I didn't kill nobody. You know, I didn't, you know, do any terrible crimes. Well, guess what? Were you born? then you have sinned somewhere along the line. Amen. If I declare I have not sinned, then I'm lying. Then that is a sin. Amen. Right? So we just come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need what you did for me. I needed that. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my punishment on yourself and setting me free once and for all. Amen. What is that called, church? That's called being born again. Coming and saying, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you rose again on the third day. That's all it takes. It's not a complicated thing to get born again. We just humble ourselves and say, yes, sir. Yeah, I did it. I did it. And if I didn't do it, I was thinking about doing it. And I receive your sacrifice, Jesus. Amen. And don't you know, it's not good enough to just believe he died for me. If you're going to believe that, you might as well just come the whole route. Amen. Because no, you're not born again if all you believe is that he died. We also must believe that he rose again. The Bible isn't full of fictitious fairy tales kind of things. No, if it says it in the Word, that's how it happened. Amen. And we need to come to him with childlike faith and just say, yes, sir, I believe it. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'm born again. And if you've never been born again, or if you were and you kind of wandered off, you just come to him right now and just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I thank you that I'm free and cleansed and washed and free of all sin and the effects of it. And I give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Congratulations, man. Welcome to the family, or back to the family. You're born again. Glory to God. Now guess what? Resurrection life is the new normal for you. Now you grow from here. You're not growing from here in order to be saved. You're growing from here because you're saved. Amen. Praise God. That's why we go to church. That's why we read and study the Bible, because we love Jesus. And when you love somebody, you just want to know them more and more and more and spend time with them. Amen. And give them your attention. Do things that please them because you love them. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23 says it this way. Therefore, having obtained help from God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you did, right? To this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Verse 23, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead. Somebody say the first. That's another type of way of saying born, right? And would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Don't you know, if he was the first to rise from the dead, that means you and me, by faith in him, are rising from the dead, church. Amen? And I'm talking heaven, praise God, eternal life in Jesus, praise the Lord. That's part of your inheritance. But it starts now, not when you get to heaven. We are born again now. Amen. He is the first to rise from the dead. So every one of us then has a number. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we put our faith in Him. And in closing, Romans 6:13 says this, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead." Alive from the dead. Somebody say, resurrection life in Jesus is the new normal. "And your members as instruments of righteousness to God." No excuses for sin, no excuses for flopping or failures or that kind. Just bring them to Jesus, confess it before Him, and move on into victory. Amen. Don't ever catch yourself saying, "Yeah, well, I got this problem. Yeah, well, I got this weakness." No, no, no. What you do is you present your body to Jesus. You don't present your body to sin. You present your body to the Lord Jesus Christ. You bring Him your issues. You bring Him your faults and failures and these kind of things. That's who He is. That's what He's there for. To take that upon Himself and set us free. Glory to God forevermore. And that word present also means yield, and also includes words like stand and the word up. Somebody say, we have risen from that condition of sin, from the conditions of sleep, disease, death, obscurity, ruins, non-existence. We are waking up. We are lifting up, raising up, standing up, taking up, rising up in faith. In the name, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this wonderful word that resurrection life in Christ is the new normal, and we walk in it 24/7, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise and all the glory. Somebody say, this is a love thing. This is a love thing. It's a forever thing. And we give You all the praise for it, Jesus, in Your mighty name. Praise God. Shelly and I love you. Thanks so much again for being a part of this internet-only service. We will be together again soon and very soon, church. God bless you. Jesus is Lord, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just before we sign off, I want to leave you with an encore presentation of Faith Forensics, Calvary Highway Patrol.
Attention all units. Attention all units. CHP Faith Forensics briefing starts now with Sergeant Stevens. Don't be late.
Welcome to the CHP, that's Calvary Highway Patrol, Faith Forensics Unit briefing. We've got a hot one here for sure. CHP Homicide Unit officers are here to speak to us today regarding this crime. And I want to introduce you to them. We got Officer Mitchum.
Yo.
We got Officer Crandall.
Present.
We got Officer Wozniak.
Here, Sarge.
And Officer DuPaul.
Obviously.
Okay. You all know the skinny on this great big mess. Presumed innocent man crucified on Mount Calvary. Jesus of Nazareth.
Hey, Sarge. Ain't that the guy that everybody seemed to love? Healing people, casting out demons. A real righteous cat, you know?
Correction, Crandall. Most everyone loved him. Certainly a good guy for sure. And please don't interrupt me again. I mean, how can you eat, Crandall, during meetings like this? Looking at all these pictures. Goodness.
Sorry, Sarge. Homicide makes me hungry. I'll clam up now.
Thanks, Crandall. We'd all appreciate it. The tragedy just continues. Now the tomb where his body was placed was discovered empty.
Empty? Come on, are you off your tree? I mean, dead bodies don't just get up and split.
Well, that would be part of the issue, wouldn't it, Wozniak? The body is missing.
I want to nail these turkeys, Sarge. Oops. Maybe I should say I want to bust these guys.
Thanks, Mitchum. Let's keep it PC, would ya? Now, that should bring us up to speed on what we know at this time. And now I am all ears. I've asked each of you to present evidence regarding possible suspects in the death of this beloved man who could very well have been the Messiah. I mean, they don't come any cleaner than this guy. We'll begin with Officer DuPaul.
Thank you, Sarge. The first suspects I'd like to present to you were two of Jesus' closest associates. Judas Iscariot will lead it off. We have credible proof that he sold Jesus out to the high priest with these silver coins.
Good. Let's bust him.
Unfortunately, we can't ask him because he's dead. Hung himself, we think. Here's the rope we found, firmly tied around his neck. It was, messy. His body's down at the morgue if you'd care to see it.
Duly noted, DePaul. Proceed.
There's also Simon Peter, another close associate, abandoned Jesus, denying he ever knew him. I found out Jesus was onto him. He told him he would deny him before the rooster crowed. We have audio of the rooster, sir.
Proof positive! Let's bust him and bring the rooster too!
No one seems to know where Peter's at the moment. We're working on it.
Thanks, DePaul. Sounds fishy to me. Let's bust Peter ASAP. Probably we'll find him down by the docks. We might need to send a boat, you know. Let's get the picture of his mug out on all the usual platforms. Officer Mitchum, what do you have? Anything we can actually use?
Thanks, Sarge. I have verifiable evidence that the High Priest Caiaphas, along with many other religious leaders, hated Jesus and wanted him dead because of jealousy. They wanted to control the people, the power, and the money.
Hard to sell the judge on conspiracy theories, Mitchum.
I call it instinct, Sarge. Okay, then. They couldn't see past their own man-made traditions. They even pressed Governor Pilate to release Barabbas, an actual murderer, and to crucify Jesus in his place. Those bullies beat him, even ripped much of his beard out of his face. An insider was able to collect samples of the hair off the bloody stone floor of the high priest's house. Can you believe the self-righteous gall of these punks?
Well done, Officer Mitchum. Let's bust Caiaphas. Get him in for questioning before the next Sabbath. Wozniak, you have the floor.
Thanks, Sarge. Two public figures also played roles in this deadly monstrosity. Governor Pilate, as Mitchum mentioned, can't be left off the hook since he didn't let Jesus off the hook. This turkey even acknowledged Jesus was innocent. This joker let a few false witnesses and crazed leaders pressure him. He had him whipped brutally and released him to be crucified. Take a gander at this here evidence.
Mercy.
Oh, and Herod played a role, too. Jesus was taken before him, too. He found him innocent as well, but still had him mocked, beaten. They even jammed a crown of thorns on his head. We'll pass the crown around if anyone cares to touch it.
Thanks, Wozniak. It may be widely publicized, but we must bust them both this week. Got it? Crandall, are you finished eating so you can enlighten us?
Okay. Excuse me. Sure thing, Sarge. This may be a bit much for us to bear, so just hear me out, everyone.
Please get on with it, Crandall. I mean, how many more suspects could there possibly be?
So get this, sir. The entire world is guilty of the death of Jesus Christ.
I was out shoveling manure.
Yeah, I was on a date.
I was enjoying my afternoon tea.
Well, I was here working.
Now, wait a minute, guys. Hold everything. The entire world has been lost in sin since the Garden of Eden. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. The sin of the world is what caused Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. Everything, you see? We're all guilty.
Oh, come on, Crandall. That's crazy.
Crandall, I think you need to narrow your scope down a little bit, buddy.
Well, God save me and the Queen.
Crandall, you've come up with some wild stories before. But this is the most ridiculous, preposterous thing I've ever heard from you. Amazing thing is, I believe you. No, listen. I think Crandall is onto something big here, people. Bigger than we ever knew. We're all guilty. My sins, your sins. The sins of the whole world cost Jesus his life. We're all busted. You're busted, and you're busted, and you're busted, and you're busted. And I'm busted. Who's gonna cuff me? Huh? I'll go quietly.
Hang on now, Sarge. Nobody's busted. That's not the end of it. And I'm not finished if anybody else cares to listen.
Not the end of it? Where did you fall off the turnip truck? You'd better spill it right now, Crandall. I'll have your badge. Before I'm locked up, that is.
You won't need to, Sarge. You see, another one of Jesus' associates just contacted me this morning. This guy named Thomas. He has seen Jesus earlier today. He's alive, sir. That's why the tomb's empty. And Jesus himself released a statement I got from Tommy. I mean, that's what he likes to go by. Jesus said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All is forgiven, love one another, and follow me."
Crandall, that's the best news I think I've ever heard. The funny thing to me is that it came from you. Let's get out among them and share the good news. Dismissed. And I'd suggest that you all spread this great news too. You don't need a badge to do that. Just please keep it under 55 out there.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All units responding, please acknowledge.